Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Good to be back. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
What's the plan, Stan?
Being coy, Roy.
Just how's that rest of that go? Sing that for me. Inside.
No private. Need to be freely.
Yeah.
Okay, so
inside joke here. Linda, are you listening?
Well, it's good to be back. Took a week off. You guys did the sports last week.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I caught like the first minute and a half, and then was out the door again, so couldn't hear it. But get it to me. We'll put it up on the website. Let's take care of a little business. Our sponsor this half hour will be Champion Buick GMC, 855-587-3510, or you can see some of their deals at www.championbuickgmc.com. Now, they've got some great prices out. Their ad is in the latest Current, and there's a 2015 Buick Regal all-wheel drive turbo for $198 a month lease. That's a pretty good deal. If you haven't driven a turbo lately, they're not like those ones in the 70s with the lag. I mean, turbos nowadays are really awesome. They got a 2015 GMC Sierra double cab, four-wheel drive, SLE for $218 lease per month. Pretty good, huh?
How much down?
I can't read that. That print's too small for me to read, dude. Would you really? You're not going to ask me that?
I had to put you on the spot, didn't
I? If I could put my reading glasses on, I could see it. But I'm getting a little blind in my old age, so I'm not seeing so well. But go to championgmcbuick.com, or you can call 855-587-3510. Got some great deals. They're a great dealership. So go and see them. I think it's like a 20% off sale or something right now. So
if you can't beat my best deal, do I get 5 pounds of coffee?
And you're thinking of Fretter, dude. That goes way back. Ollie Fretter.
Yes. Ollie Fretter.
It just pulled it right out of my mind.
Yeah.
Right, there you go. I also want to give a shout out. I got a phone call today from some listeners in Oregon, right? I was going to say Oregon. Oregon is the way they say it out there, I guess. And so I'll give a shout out to the guys at Clemens Marina. You can go to clemensmarina.com and buy a boat. And what you can do, this dealership sells more boats than just about anybody, I think. 503-283-1712. You can buy a boat, and they'll ship it anywhere in the country for you.
Oregon, that's a city.
Oregon, nearby? Portland, Oregon, the state.
Oh, the state you're talking about.
Yeah, state
and
out of Oregon.
Advertising
so
for
Chris Key out there selling boats like a madman. So he called in, and we'll talk about the show a little bit today. So.
Well, if you're listening right now, congratulations on that fantastic win over Florida State University.
Yeah.
I was digging that.
Yeah.
I like seeing Jameis Winston humiliated on national television.
Wow, dude, that's kind of bitter.
No, not bitter. It's just deservedly so.
All right, so let's
right, Derek.
There
we
go. That's right.
I hate that bum. I'm glad he finally lost a game before he closed out his college career.
Hey, speaking of which, so are you both happy that Harbaugh's come to town?
Yeah. Should now there's some hope.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think he can turn it around immediately, right?
I told Derek before we went on the air, I said, I am not going to be too disappointed or get too upset if next year's a mediocre or subpar year. I would, you know, give him at least a couple years to really show some change. And let's see some hard-fought, competitive games. Even if we lose, I'll be satisfied with that the first couple years.
Right. Yeah, it takes time to rebuild. So I'm hoping people don't get on him right away if things don't turn around next year, you know.
Yeah.
So give him a little time. Derek, you were going to say something. I can see you.
Yeah, I agree with what Drake said, but you can't forget about what he did with San Francisco his first season, turning that losing franchise into an immediate winner and taking them to the NFC Championship game. So there is that possibility.
Oh, yeah, everywhere he's gone. Yeah. Stanford, San Diego, the 49ers. Yeah, I won't be surprised if he turns it all around, but I'm not going to hate him if he doesn't do it instantly.
Well, good. Well, I'm kind of happy to see him here. So it was good news over the holiday while I was away. So you guys did a great job last week. I didn't hear all the show, but I heard part of it.
You loved that first minute and a half, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Talking about Derek's suit.
Okay, let's get to the meat of the show. We're going to talk about Obama sanctioning North Korea This is another famous Barack Obama punishment, right? Obama sanctions North Korea as punishment for the Sony hack. Now, Derek, do we have that first track? Let's just bring ourselves up to speed. Let's go ahead and play that.
It's a New Year's gift for North Korea, and it's coming in the form of new sanctions from the White House. On Friday, President Obama signed an executive order imposing new economic sanctions on the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The sanctions will extend to include those associated with the communist state. The move comes weeks after federal investigators found evidence that North Korea helped plan and execute a cyber attack on Sony Pictures, the company responsible for producing and releasing the controversial assassination comedy, The Interview.
Take him out.
You want us to kill the leader of North Korea?
And the White House says there could be more sanctions to come, reiterating that its response could take place at any time and in any manner, saying, quote, today's actions are the first aspect of our response.
Okay, so Brock's doubling down on blaming the Koreans. We've talked about it on the show. I was kind of proud. We said it may not have been the North Koreans. I mean, we weren't the only ones, and not the first ones, certainly. But
yeah, and there was a headline that came out that it was a Sony employee that actually performed the hack. So why are we still saying it was North Korea? Is there a lot of confusion as to what the truth is?
You know, I don't understand, because as so many other pundits have said, really, what are you going to sanction North Korea? We don't trade with them. Nobody trades with them. They have nothing. What does a sanction really do to a poor country like that?
And also, anytime I hear about we're going to put sanctions on a country like North Korea or Iran or some of these other places, it blows me away that if we haven't already put the sanctions on, why haven't we done it 10, 20 years ago for all of the egregious, horrible things that they've done and the national security threat that they are to us?
Yeah. Again, it's another...
How can that be?
It's another line in the sand drawn by... A pink line in the sand drawn by Barack Obama, you know, waiting to be washed away. It's...
Well, even, you know, with the Bush administration and previous, why haven't there been... It implies if you're going to be able to put sanctions on now... It implies that sanctions weren't on in the past that could have been, and that, in fact, maybe even favorable incentives were in place to a degree for a criminal state like that.
Yeah.
So how can that possibly be? How can we come right now to the present and say, oh, you know what? Forget the, you know, cheating on the nuclear program, and they finally came out and admitted it. Forget about all the threats they've made to us of launching a nuclear war against us. Forget about the killing of South Korean sailors and soldiers over the years and sinking of their naval ship. But damn it, you're not going to threaten our movies. Now we're going to put some sanctions on you.
Yeah, I mean,
means war.
Yeah, we talked about the cybersecurity thing. I mean, and I don't know. I'm just saying. Again, it's Conspiracy Saturday with me. Does Sony get more money from their cyber insurance if it's a wartime attack or an attack by an outsider than they would if it's their own people?
There could even be a clause in there that if it does come from a foreign, you know, a state actor, that they get nothing. Because maybe the insurance would be, hey, we can't protect against that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I'm not pointing fingers. Not this time, anyway.
Regardless of what the real truth is as to who hacked and who's making these threats of terrorism against the movie theaters that air it, and Linda said this, and I thought this right from the beginning, too, that the publicity, regardless of, you know, what the actual reality of the source of the publicity is publicity. So this will be a movie that probably most of us will never see, but a movie that we will never forget.
Yeah, I tell you what, I was telling you before the show that I've seen it twice now. I watched it the first time with my brother, bought it over the internet, whatever, and like 20 of us watched
it. Did you hack into Sony and watch it for free?
But we watched it and laughed very much, and then I watched it again last night and laughed just as hard. I thought it was a good movie. It's not an Academy Award winner, but nobody's saying it's the greatest movie of all
time. Yeah, it is what it is.
It's supposed to be a funny, spoofy, campy romp, and it was. I laughed very hard. Some vulgar language and some mild nudity, but not much, not really anything that you wouldn't see on.
But it worked.
And it worked. It was funny. I probably would not have gone to the movie theater to see it anyways. I would have waited for the video to come out and paid my $350 at the video store. But I wanted to see it, you know. So the publicity made me go see
sure.
it anyways. But I don't think that it put North Korea in any worse light than they already are. It doesn't make them look any, that's the way we all think about North Korea anyways, at least in this country. So I don't think it was that bad, you know. And the acting, I thought, was pretty good. The guy that played Kim Jong-un, I thought, did a fantastic job.
You know? Was he the guy possibly on Mad TV?
He looks familiar, but I can't place. You know, I was trying to think of a commercial that I may have seen him in before.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a wonderful job. And, of course, Seth Rogen and James Franco were very funny.
They're always funny, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was good.
I always hated Mad TV. I never found it funny. But I remember the little Asian guy on there that was very flamboyant.
Yeah.
And it seems like he might be the perfect candidate to be Kim Jong-un
life of me, I can't even think of the actor's name. Derek, maybe you can look it up for us. Give him credit where it's due. Do you got it?
Yeah, the guy who portrayed Kim Jong-un, his name is Randall Park.
Randall Park. Okay. Well, he was good.
His name isn't Kim Park. Everybody's name is Kim over in Korea.
Wow, dude. That's
a unisex
name. That's a broad stereotype, isn't it?
Yeah, there's truth in everything.
Well, there's one article that we put on the Daily Drift today from Shane Harris at the Daily Beast. He says that while the FBI is publicly pointing the finger at North Korea, behind closed doors, they appear to have doubts. And this is what hackers do. They like to make it look like it's somebody else's hack. That's what makes you a good hacker, if they don't know who you are. But there is some proof that's kind of pointing the fingers at ex-employees, which we talked about a few weeks ago. So I'm glad that some people are asking the right questions.
Could be like an episode of 24. You know, here's the employee as the fall guy or fall lady. They're just doing their job, and all of a sudden there's evidence pointing to them that was planted.
Right.
Like, I did nothing.
Now, what happens? What does it make us look like as a country, though, if it turns out that North Korea did nothing? And here Barack's just doubling down, putting these, well, they're sanctions, so they don't really mean anything. But still, does it make us look that much stupider than we already are?
Well, it makes us stupid if, in fact, it's proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that it wasn't North Korea. However, the sanctions, I think, should have been put in place years ago before this movie ever came out for all the other things. It's kind of like if you have a kid, you know, and you punish him, and then, you know, he says, but I didn't do it. And you just say, well, this is for all the other stuff you did that I don't know about.
Right.
But I think the sanctions, whatever sanctions we can place on them, are for all the things that we know about.
Yeah.
For years now, for at least a decade, where it's gotten really serious with nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Well, it's North Korea, and maybe sooner or later we'll hear from our friend of the show, Kim Jong-un himself. And,
Gary Wowie.
Maybe we'll hear from him in the short future. Let's take a break, Derek, and when we come back, we're going to hit a bunch of other information that you're probably not hearing and get some fresh news on a plate. See you on the other side.
Everybody needs some time to just turn on the radio and rock. You'll love Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. It all gets underway at 4 p.m. with the Saturday edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show. From 6 to 8, get hip to Fast Eddie, spinning the classics on Eddie's Caravan. At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots music with Radio John D. and the Greasy Skillet. Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the very best oldies from 10 to midnight. Dan Martin brings you the finest music from the United Kingdom on London Calling at midnight. From 2 a.m. to 4, it's Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go. Theron, Saturday Night Rockin' Rhythm Review. Rockin' Rhythm Review. It all starts at 4 p.m. Saturday, only on the musical side of Wham!
Hi, I know it's easy to feel out of control and even easier to tune out the news you need to know. Yes, it seems the world is exploding in violence, our country is falling apart, and our elected leaders do absolutely nothing to stop it. But you're not alone. I'm Gary Wellings, editor of the Daily Drift and the Current newspaper, where we uphold values of common sense every day. And now you can join in on the conversation by catching the Drift Radio Show every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. here on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600. Don't give up and bury your head in the sand. Get educated on the political issues that affect you. Stay informed on current events and find ways to make a difference with us every Saturday on The Drift.
That's The Drift Radio Show, heard every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on Wham Talk 1600, Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse. You can also tune in by going to whamradio.com.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Find a relaxed position to let go of the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk four sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Where can you find the number one veterans military program? Right here on Wham Talk Radio 1600. Hi, I'm Bob Gould, host and producer at Veterans Radio, inviting you to tune in Sunday afternoons at 1700 hours. That's 5 o'clock for you civilian, where we have vets tell their stories along with authors, politicians, benefits specialists, all live on the air just for you. Veterans and civilians, you'll want to tune into Veterans Radio Sunday afternoons, 5 o'clock, here on Wham Talk Radio 1600. That's an order.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch the Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey, let me ask you now. I know people are probably sick of hearing New Year's resolution stuff on radio shows, but are you dedicated? Have you drawn a line in the sand? Going forward, it's going to be this, and you're not going to deviate in some type of category that you know you have to do, that you've been meaning to do?
Well, I said I was going to step out the back, Jack, and get on the treadmill, you know. But I've been on the treadmill, I think, twice since New Year's.
Well,
if I can do it two or three times a week, that's really all I'm hoping to do.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
See, now Linda's theory is January 5th. That's when you start, which is Monday. Makes sense.
That makes sense. That's a good one.
I scoffed at that at first, thinking, no, that's weak. But now I've caved in every category, so January 5th is my new start date.
I moved the treadmill into position, and I've used it three times now, two or three. I don't know. I've lost track already. It's the first of the year, and I've already lost track. How was that? But. Yeah, I'm going to try to physically be better this year to myself. You know, take a little time to
get that blood flowing in the right areas.
Yeah, I got to stop pumping this Jello through my body. You know, it needs to be thinned out a little bit. A little exercise, maybe a couple of aspirin. I don't know, something.
A couple of aspirin.
This is probably what will kill me anyways. But all right, well, let's talk a little bit about unions. I'm not a big union guy, but there was an article today that I saw and had to post on the Drift. And it's a UAW teachers branch in California is joining the boycott against Israel. Now, of all the things that should be important to a union at this time, boycotting Israel, how does that sit as a priority in 2015? If I'm a teacher and my union is talking about boycotting Israel, how does that help my paycheck or my benefits or anything else with my job or the security of my job?
That's because on the left, the Israelis are instantly and immediately guilty, not knowing any of the facts, and the Palestinians are the victim. That's why. They're being, quote, socially conscious.
Yeah, I'm just, it's UAW Local 2865 in California. They're teaching assistants. It represents teaching assistants at the University of California. And I guess this is what bothers me. There's 13,000 members in that union, right? And only 2,168 voted. So you know they went out and they got the ones, probably the Palestinian teaching assistants, you know, at the University of California. They're probably all Palestinians, that number anyways. And they went ahead and did this. And the rest of the teachers or teachers' assistants, if they didn't agree with that, stand up for yourselves. Because you're allowing a minority to dictate something. And frankly, let's be honest, it's the only viable democracy in the Middle East is Israel, and yet here they are jumping on the bandwagon again for no reason.
I know teachers that couldn't explain to you the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, that their life depended on it. They wouldn't even know where Israel's at.
Yeah,
and their teachers.
Yeah, and that's a shame. It just boggles my mind that any union in this country would step forward to do something as ignorant as try to boycott Israel. I mean, I don't care if it's a union or not. Who in their right mind in this country, other than a Palestinian pro-Hamas whatever, would want to boycott Israel? It's the only stable, good democracy in the Middle East. Are you kidding me? And people want to boycott it? I'm just offended. I was offended when I read the article.
Are you boycotting me?
Okay, we'll leave that one go. Now that you went that way. Here's another story that I wanted to, and we're going to do this a little more this year because, you know, I know we always get caught up in the hot items, but I think we let a lot of stuff fly to the side that we should probably bring to people's attention because that is our job. Is there another housing bubble coming? What do you think?
Well, I mean, when you have interest rates as low as they are, there's a possibility of more than one bubble, a bubble in the stock market, a bubble in real estate, because when you artificially move one macro variable in one direction, it causes a reaction in another area.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a second, because something happened this last couple of weeks. Oil's been dropping, gas is dropping, and we're all pretty happy about that.
Except for the people producing out in the West.
Yes, and the Saudis, of course, and I think this is all part of it. The Saudis are not cutting production because they want to drive our fledgling oil industry out of business.
And so they've said that.
Yes.
Yes, it's a price war.
Yeah.
They want to eliminate the competition.
Yep. So we need to, this is maybe
it hurts Russia, though, so I do like that.
Yeah, maybe there's a place for government to step in on that. But I'm not saying that because I don't know enough about it. But what bothered me was the falling oil prices scared the stock market. And I thought to myself, why is the stock market scared? Shouldn't they be happy that airlines and factories can now have cheaper fuel costs, which means they're going to make more money? I thought to myself, is the stock market so out of whack and touch with reality that they're looking at dropping oil as a bad end? I didn't understand that. Do you understand
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Okay, there's two things I can say on that. Number one, when you hear a financial headline explaining after the fact why the market moved, they just make shit. They make stuff up.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. So. Yeah. So anyway, let me comment on that. The financial press is such that when the market moves, they have to have something to say. And so sometimes it's obvious what happened, and it's logical to attribute a market move to whatever. But other times, the market moved just because it moved. There could be profit-taking. There could be a perception of the future that's a little different than it was the day before. But they will make things up just to fill the airtime. Okay, that's number one. So never believe really 100% of what the financial press says, because they got to talk about something.
Right.
If they always knew after the fact exactly why something happened, they wouldn't be commenting on it on the air. They would be multi-billionaire trillionaires because they would be able to forecast the market much better than other people.
Right.
Could.
And they don't.
Otherwise, they're not making $70,000 talking about the market after the fact. They'd be making $70 million a day. Okay, but number two, as far as oil prices going down and possibly affecting the market in a negative way rather than a positive way, is that because a substantial part of the market, when you say market, Dow Jones Industrials, which mm-hmm. is 30 companies, or the S&P 500, which is 500 of the largest market cap companies, some of those companies are oil-producing companies.
Okay.
Or refiners. So if they get hurt, it affects that market index.
Right. Okay. I guess I can see that part of it.
Sure.
All right.
So, but I agree with you. I think overall, based on how our economy is structured, that our economy is going to benefit overall more so than it would be hurt. But the thing, too, is you got to realize that the market's always looking ahead. So just because gas prices are down today isn't necessarily what the market's looking at. They're looking at 6 months to a year from now.
Right.
Other factors.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll pick this housing bubble up on the other side and see you after the break.
Sounds good.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Kay Long. Some good news in the search for AirAsia Flight 8501. Large objects found on the ocean floor located by sonar, one nearly 60 feet long. In all, four large objects detected by sonar. Investigators confident these are parts of the plane that goes down last Sunday with 162 people aboard. No clues as to the cause of that crash, but the pilot asking the tower if he could steer around some bad weather. Former military test pilot and Eastern Airlines Captain J.P. Tristani asked if stormy weather is that dangerous to a plane.
It can overwhelm the flight control systems and the pitot systems, the indicators, the angle of attack indicators that pilots use that are fed into their computers, so it can be overwhelmed in literally seconds.
Tristani speaking on Fox News. Meanwhile, the Indonesian government launching an investigation into what appear to be flight violations by AirAsia, the plane crashing this week flying on an unauthorized schedule. Uniformed police officers from across the country among those lining up for the wake of a New York City police officer killed in an ambush shooting last month. The wake Saturday for Officer Wenjin Liu coming a week after the funeral of his patrol partner, Rafael Ramos. They were shot in their cruiser 2 weeks ago by a man who then killed himself. Among those attending this afternoon's wake in Brooklyn, about 20 officers from the Los Angeles Police Department. The NTSB now at the plane crash site in Kentucky, where a 7-year-old girl survives after four family members lose their lives. Larry Wilkins telling Fox News he's shocked to find the girl walking away from the crash, knocking on his door.
This little girl's 7 years old, and she'd walked 3/4 of a mile barefooted through some very bad terrain. I wouldn't want to walk in that woods after dark. She was barefooted. She had one sock left on her foot. She was dressed in for the Florida weather. They had come out of Florida, and it was, I don't know, close to 40 degrees.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Teens Using Drugs, What to Know and What to Do, a free ongoing two-part education program, will be presented at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center, 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti, in the exhibition room on the first floor. Part 1, What to Know, will be presented on Tuesday, January 6th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Part 1 will provide information on understanding substance abuse problems and recognizing when a young person may be harmfully involved with alcohol or other drugs. Part 2, What to Do, will be presented on Tuesday, January 13th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Part 2 will provide information on what does and does not help when a teen substance abuse problem is suspected or identified, and will include a talk by a young person in recovery from addiction. This series is free and open to the public. For more information, call 734-485-8725 or visit Dawn Farm. The Washtenaw Wanderers Walking Club will gather for a regular monthly meeting Wednesday, January 21st at the REI Store Meeting Room, 970 West Eisenhower Parkway in Ann Arbor. The meeting starts at 7 p.m. For more information, visit ava.org or Facebook/Washtenaw Wanderers. There's going to be a bowling fundraiser to support Friends of Michigan Animals Rescue Saturday, February 21st at Thunder Bowl Lanes, 4200 Allen Road in Allen Park. 4:30 p.m. check-in, 5 p.m. start time. The cost is $20 per person, which includes 3 hours of bowling, pizza, and pop. For more information, call 734-461-9458.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift down here at Wham! Talk 1600, 734-822-1600. If you have anything that you want to add to the conversation, you are, as always, welcome to do so. So we're talking a little bit about the market, and Drake, you wanted to add something to...
Well, yeah, I wanted to add on to what I was saying, in that as human beings, we always want to know why something happened. And so it's just natural that if, say, the market drops a significant amount, and we'll say just 500 points. That would probably grab people's attention right now. Even though at the market around 18,000, if we're describing the market as the Dow, 500 points probably isn't that big of a percentage move. But 500 points is 500 points. So naturally, we're going to ask ourselves, why did that happen? And so we're going to tune in to the news, and we're going to hear something. We're going to hear some sound bite, and that may be part of it. But it sounds like, okay, our curiosity has been satisfied by that sound, that sound bite, if you will, from the financial press. But the way the market works, it's based on so many components. It's emotional, and it's just cold, hard, logical, mathematical facts, too. But it's always, for the most part, looking ahead, anticipating. And so if gas oil prices have dropped significantly and the press attributes the drop in the stock market to the drop in oil prices, people are going to go, oh, okay, or they're going to question it like you have. But that's really not the story. It's the market anticipating, what are earnings going to be 6 months from now? What are sales trending at?
Right.
And then there's all these different schools of thought on how to forecast the market. And there's technical analysis. And they mainly look at price patterns and volume and all these different little things about what has happened in the past, price-wise, basically, to forecast the future. Then there's the fundamental analysis, which is looking at cash flows and earnings and sales growth.
Which is what they should be looking at.
And that type of thing. But right. Those things are almost impossible to forecast with any consistent reliability.
Yeah.
Everybody gets lucky once in a while, and you'll hear about some high-flying mutual fund manager or a hedge fund manager. And because part of it's luck, but part of it also is their style, the way they analyze the market. Maybe they do a combination of technical and fundamental analysis, but that style is in, it's working for them at that point. 10 years from now, their style may be out of favor, and they can't forecast for to save their life.
Right.
And some other high flyer is now making money who was the dog a few years before.
Right. So what worries me, I guess, is when I see Main Street not doing so well, but I see the stock market doing, like the last 2 years have been really big, even though the economy's not there. And it worries me. Are we artificially inflating the stock market with the cheap interest rates
right.
that the Fed keeps
That's
pumping out?
Certainly a part of it.
Are we making our own bubble in the stock market? And you're the accountant, so correct me. Does the financial performance of all the companies making up the stock market, are they as good to warrant the 18,000 that we're at right now, or are we just inflating that with the cheap the pumping that the Fed is doing, quantitative easing?
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying, because if you're a saver, and say you're a senior citizen and you're a saver, and you're earning 0% or 1%,
yeah.
You may, out of desperation, go chasing returns in the stock market. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You put money in, and I'm talking about an aggregate of millions of people here and around the world start dumping money into the stock market, well, naturally it's going to go up. So then you see the market going up and you think, okay, I got some more money to put in. So you put more money in because I want that return. The market returned 15% last year. I'm earning 0% in my savings account. And that's how bubbles develop. And that's why I said at the beginning that when you artificially drive one macro variable down, it has an effect elsewhere. Real estate, the stock market, the bond market, all of that.
So I'm right to be worried.
Well, you know, and again, too, now you mentioned companies. That's something that is really worth addressing, in that sometimes great companies are horrible investments. What do I mean by that? A company that's a lot of sales, a lot of cash flow, very stable, financially viable, their stock market price might be at, have a PE, a price earnings ratio of, say, 70. Okay. Another company that maybe isn't doing so well right now at this point in time, remember, you got to look to the future,
right.
Isn't doing that great. Maybe their price earning ratio is like 2. So even though the company that's not doing so well right now, maybe it's not that great of a company right now, might be a fantastic investment. So you can't always look at what the status of a great company is right now as being a great investment.
Right.
Because you might lose your butt. That stock market price might be down 50% 3 years from now, and it's still a great company, but you overpaid. Whereas the other company that's not that great right now, it's not horrible, but it's not that great, that might be a fantastic investment because its price might be triple 3 years from now.
Right. So you got to look at it long term too.
Sometimes there's a disconnect between the stock price and how great a company really is.
Yes. This every time I start talking finance, stock market stuff, my brain just starts to boil because I don't understand a lot of it. You know, it doesn't make sense to me, but I do worry. You know, and I'm afraid that the bubble's coming. Well, the housing bubble is something I understand a little bit more about because I've invested in property over the years, and normally I've always done pretty well, except for this last downturn kind of screwed me a little bit, you know. But they're talking about another housing bubble coming.
Let's mention one more thing before you get into that. And we're talking about, you know, trends and broad variables here. Let's not forget the possibility of a so-called black swan. A dirty bomb goes off in New York City. Black swan. Market could drop 50% on Monday.
Well, that's true. Yeah. One emergency crisis like that could have a Anyways, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
So let's talk housing bubble. What happened in 2008 and could it happen again? And I've got a great clip here. It's a little long, but this is Peter Wallison. He's a former member of the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission that looked into the market crash in 2008. And he's now a member of the American Enterprise Institute. And he explains this pretty well. And so I wanted to share this with people so that people are aware that there could be another problem. Derek, you got that track ready? Let's play that.
Yes, unfortunately, they have been more or less directed by their government regulator to accept these 3% down payment mortgages. And that is very much along the lines of what they were doing before. In fact, by the year 2000, they were beginning to accept zero down payment mortgages. So they're not yet at the point where they are doing the things that were as bad as they were doing before, but a 3% down payment mortgage is a pretty weak mortgage. Well, one of the reasons this is possible today is that the American people really do not understand what caused the financial crisis and the role of Fannie and Freddie in that. And as long as the idea is around that it was the banks on Wall Street and the financial institutions in general that caused the financial crisis, the American people will not understand that it was government housing policy, just the kind of thing that we're talking about now, which caused the crisis. So we wait until we have another crisis because the government is doing the same thing that it was doing before. Well, I think if we continue along these lines, it is certainly a possibility. You cannot have a housing system where people are getting mortgages that they can't afford to sustain. And in fact, it is very bad for families to be lured into a situation where they are given a mortgage that over time they are unable to pay. Eventually, it results in eviction. And when that happens, it's not only bad for that family, it's bad for everyone in the neighborhood where that family lived because it drives down the values of all the homes and all the mortgages in that area. So this is a very bad government policy, but one that the government will continue to pursue because it adds to what the government thinks of as the prosperity in the country because it increases home sales. And it is true that initially it increases home sales, but over time it results in too many people owning homes that they can't afford to keep up, they can't afford to pay for, and we have another financial crisis.
Well, this is clearly George Bush's fault.
Well, what's crazy to me is, yes, before that 2008 and the housing bubble, they were giving mortgages for zero down. You didn't have to put anything down. No downstroke. And right. People would try to make the payment for 6 to 12 months, and then they would lose the home.
Well, it was like it was like a five-year balloon payment. You had to refinance after so many years, and the thought was that, well, housing prices always go up.
Right.
And so catch this train while you can, and in 5 years, your house will be worth way more than it is now. You'll be able to refinance, and you'll have a monthly payment that you can afford.
Yes.
That was the whole bet.
Yeah.
And then after, you know, a few years, well, housing prices started coming down. You couldn't refinance, and so it just fed the fire of the price decline. You know, I look at it like this, too, back then. If I know I can't afford something, but I want to buy something, whether it's a house or whatever, I'm kind of like the person that decides I'm going to go out on the street and I'm going to try heroin. Right? There's a demand for
right.
something I shouldn't do.
It's an addiction.
I shouldn't buy this yeah. or I shouldn't go do heroin. Now, if there's a pusher on the street that's going to supply the heroin to me and I'm going to this person voluntarily, the pusher isn't 100% of the problem. I'm
right.
part of the problem because I'm the one providing the demand. So anybody that went and took on one of these crazy mortgages that can't afford anything, you know, it's ridiculous. It's obvious they can't afford it. They're the demand for the drug and the banks and some of these crazy mortgage companies.
Yeah, we're pushing.
You could say they're the pushers. That's true, but they wouldn't be around if there wasn't a demand for the product that they were selling.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, to me, the financial crisis could never have gained the scope that it did if you didn't have the credit rating agencies rubber stamping these things and allowing them to be sold to the pension plans, to the you know pension funds, to the teachers union in California where there's billions of dollars available to invest because these particular entities weren't allowed to invest in anything unless it was rated AAA. You know, it was like just the most safe thing in the world. And if you've
right.
got an S&P credit rating agency, for example, or Fitch, or what's the other one? Moody's, stamping these things as credit quality, you know, you can go and buy them. But if they had stamped them for what they really were, rated them for what they really were, that they were speculative, then billions and trillions of dollars couldn't have been invested in these things,
yeah.
causing all the pain when the market broke and housing prices came down.
Yeah.
Do I make any sense on that?
Absolutely.
By rubber stamping these and falsely grading them much higher than they should have been, that was the grease to allow this to just proliferate throughout the world.
Yeah, but what's insane is the government required us to go back to 20%. If you tried to buy a house last year, the year before,
and people bitched about it.
Yeah, you had to have 20-30% down. You couldn't get a house.
Mm-hmm.
And yet government interference now is mm-hmm. allowing these 3% down mortgages again, which is right back to where we were.
Exactly.
You know, it's because the government, again, the government's twisting the definition of what success is in the economy. Oh, if we're selling houses, the economy's successful. See what we've done? No. You're selling homes with not enough down and making a dangerous mortgage again. And that's the problem. Why are you interfering? Leave it alone. Let there be a 20% down.
Mm-hmm. When housing prices collapsed, the economy went in the tank, all you heard was the blame game of, well, you had the big banks pushing money on people, right? Pushing money, getting people to borrow.
Yep.
Then, after we're in this deep recession, then it reversed the whole sentiment and mentality became, the banks aren't lending. Well, maybe there's a reason they're not lending, because of all the problems it caused by lending to people who aren't credit worthy. Now you're insisting that you lend to people
yeah.
who aren't credit worthy, whether it's a business or an individual, and we've gone right back to what you're saying. We're probably lending to people that shouldn't be receiving
right.
loans.
Yeah, it's a social justice thing again. Well, let's take a
again.
Break. Yeah, again. Derek, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll move on to
I'm caffeinated,
else.
Can you tell?
You are caffeinated. And see you on the other side.
When Wham Talk 1600 is your conservative powerhouse in Southeast Michigan and online around the world. Start your weekdays each morning at 6 with Bill Bennett's Morning in America, giving you the day's first look at the newsmaking headlines. At 9 a.m., Glenn Beck blazes the airwaves with his blockbuster radio program. Glenn, Pat, and Stu knock down the mainstream media's hype with humor and truth. At noon, Laura Ingraham pulls no punches and shines a light on the political insanity that dominates Washington. At 3 o'clock, shift into high gear with Wham's own Theron. On the Edge is unapologetic and common sense driven. It's the tough love truth America needs to hear. At 6 o'clock, irreverent, feisty, fearless. It's the Dana Show with the Blaze's Dana Lash, your conservative alternative. At 8 p.m., it's Jerry Doyle. Jerry cuts no slack for the left or right. Keep your radio tuned to Wham Talk 1600 AM and keep everything else at whamradio.com.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
Experience authentic Mexican cuisine at Taqueria La Fiesta. We serve traditional Mexican food, not Tex-Mex, not Mexican-American, and not Mexican-Californian. Our food is great because our authenticity makes a difference. We offer local deliveries and can cater your events, so stop by and see us.
Taqueria La Fiesta, 4060 Packard Road in Ann Arbor, 734-477-9240, 734-477-9240. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 9.
Experience traditional Mexican food and taste a difference at Taqueria La Fiesta.
You know, when you talk about cool radio, only one show springs to mind. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. I'm Theron. I'm inviting you to join me. See what everybody's talking about. It's the finest radio in all the land. It's the wig singing rock, hip shaking soul music, and the industrial strength rhythm and blues. Join me right here for the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Motators, Mom.
Join Theron for the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. And the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. So a couple of stories I wanted to get to real quick, because this is another one that bothers me a little bit. Sugar. Now, you and I, you're pretty healthy,
give
right?
Give me some.
Give me some sugar. Give me some sugar, bro.
Lips like sugar. Remember that song?
Yeah, Sugar Kisses, dude.
Yeah, love absolutely. That song.
For years and years, I've thought to myself, you know, sugar's got to be bad for me because
terrible.
I don't know what I am, but if I eat more than one donut, if I have two donuts, which I love, I feel a little sickish, right?
January 1st, I ate 20 chocolate eclairs.
Oh, my God.
The little ones, but still 20 of them.
Oh, dude, yeah, that's got to be
in 5 minutes.
Yeah. So at home, we talk about sugar and, we've been reading a little bit, and it sounds like more and more the medical field is saying, you know, it's not the fats, it's not the butter and the whole milk and stuff that's getting you. It's mm-hmm. the sugars mm-hmm. that are causing spikes and the resulting heart attacks and whatever.
And the combination, if you eat sugar and those fats, a diabolical formula right there.
Yeah, so I put an article up today, and I put it on from the science side. I try to do them as often as I can find something that's interesting anyways. A scientific team sounds the alarm on sugar as a source of disease, and it's mm-hmm. is sugar making us sick? A team of scientists at the University of California believe so, and they're doing something about it. They're launching an initiative to bring information on food and drink and the added sugar to the public by reviewing more than 8,000 scientific papers showing this strong link between the consumption of added sugar and chronic diseases. So we're not just talking diabetes. We're talking heart problems and muscle problems and the whole
scarring of your arteries, becoming insulin resistant, diabetic, all kinds of problems.
Yeah, the common belief until now has been that sugar just makes us fat, but it's becoming clear through this research that it's making us sick. For example, there's a rise in fatty liver disease, the emergence of type 2 diabetes as an epidemic in children, and dramatic increase in metabolic disorders, which I think we're all kind of going through that. Because you know, the best diets I've ever had have been the ones where I take the sugar and the carbohydrates out of my diet, and it's probably a little overboard sometimes, but I lose weight when I get the breads, because those are simple. They call them simple sugars.
You feel less hungry. You feel more stable physically, I mean, and mentally. I mean, you just, like, you can go the whole day sometimes without eating if you've weaned yourself off the simple sugars and the complex carbs to a large degree.
Right, So I, you know, and I've seen that, and it's good to see that. This is kind of coming around because they're saying, and my wife says this to me all the time, if we ate more like our grandparents did, we would probably be healthier. So you're eating the natural, unprocessed foods without all this extra sugar that's added into just about everything. I always get amazed when I open the cupboard and I pull something out. I'm just going to do some noodles with dinner tonight, and I look at the back, and one of the first items is sugar. I'm like, really?
Or high fructose
corn syrup.
It's
Parmesan noodles. Why is there sugar in my Parmesan noodles?
Mm-hmm. You know? Sugar, salt, and fat. That is what is added to everything to get you addicted.
Yeah, so that you buy more of it, eat more of it, whatever. So,
I don't know how much time we got. I'll say this real quick. I listened to this audiobook a few years ago, and they're talking about, you know, the food industry. And when I say that, I mean fast food, restaurant chains, frozen foods. They actually have scientists dedicated full-time making big bucks. This isn't just some, you know, fly-by-night type of thought. They do this full-time to maximize the ingredients of salt, sugar, and fat. And because you will become more addicted to this stuff than you realize. Now, they maximize it to the point where it tastes good, so it's not over the top, like, oh, this is too salty, I can't eat this. But it's got way more in it than it should have, so that your brain, the neurotransmitters and all that stuff in your brain, will start craving it, and so therefore you come back. Because a lot of times in the food industry, it's not based on profit margin, it's based on volume. Profit margins might be slim, so to make money, they got to have you keep coming back.
Right. Well, it goes back to what our founding fathers, I think it was George Washington, who said, we're going to tax alcohol, we're going to tax tobacco, and they want to tax sugar. Now, those are the three. We don't really tax sugar, candies, pops, and things like that, or sodas, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know I'm the last guy.
So you're saying Michelle Obama is dead on. Come on, baby. Oh, bring it on in. Give me that. Bring it. Give me some sugar.
Well, it just bothers me that, you know, the industry obviously is not going to take a look at cutting sugar down.
Oh, no.
Us, you know,
no, they wouldn't.
So maybe that is appropriate to tax sugar at the wholesale level or whatever to maybe get industry to take a second look at it. Yeah, it's a little too expensive to put all that sugar in there.
So you're saying go to New York City and you got to get by that small soda.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's that conundrum that it puts me into. I know sugar is bad for us. I know it's bad for
Depends
me.
Depends on what
and
kind.
And it's tough to give it up. I know it is.
It really is.
But if it's a sin, like alcohol and tobacco, maybe it's the place we should be taxing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't raise our gas tax. Put a 10-cent tax on a bottle of sugar. Pop.
You know, we're talking about sugar, and believe it or not, caffeine, one of the reasons it's so bad for you is it causes your body to dump sugar from either your pancreas or your liver into your bloodstream, and that's part of the rush and the high that you feel.
Oh,
and that increases insulin resistance, and that's one of the reasons caffeine is so bad for you that I'm slugging down right now, as everyone can tell.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, that's why we got to get out caffeine, too. It's horrible.
Okay, well, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com.
Don't become like me. Don't try this at home, kids.
Don't drink as much coffee and sugar as to drink. See you next week.
Bye.